All right, good morning, everyone. Today is November 21st, 2023. It is 10:01 a.m. There's a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Moving right on to item number three today is public comment. A public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. So with that said, is there any public comment today? As a reminder, for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature. If you're calling in, you can use star six to unmute yourself. All right, not seeing any public comment, we're going to move on to item number four. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for November 21, 2023 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. County Manager, are there any adjustments to today's agenda?
I don't. There's some continuances, but we'd like to do this at the actual alignment, so no changes to the agenda.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? All right. Not seeing any, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number five is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the September 5th, 2023 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about those minutes?
No questions.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I have no comments. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for the September 5th, 2023 meeting? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes for our September 5th, 2023 meeting as presented.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding the consent agenda? No comments, sir?
I had a blank out there for a minute, but no comment. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything about today's consent agenda?
I have no comments. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we're going to kick it off with the Sheriff's Office today. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to the Fire Protection District.
New update today.
All right. Thank you. After that, we've got Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations and Projects Coordinator, in for Director Wurzbicki. The update today is the B Street water line is moving along well. The main line will finish today. Testing and tie-ins will begin right after that. And I don't have any information right now on the final patch back. Second item is the Christmas lights have all been laid out and tested and are currently being hung across C Street as we speak. And they'll be done by the end of this meeting. And that's all I have from Director Wurzbicki.
All right. Thank you for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding that update?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Good. Thank you.
All right. Mike, do you just want to move on? Operations and Projects Coordinator?
Yes, sir. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator. Item one, the Virginia City Highlands Community Center, the fire apparatus storage building out there at Station 72. The final steel inspection for today for the stem wall is today. The stem wall will be poured tomorrow. Concrete's going to cure until Monday, and then we'll be starting on the slab. Item two, Lockwood Sheriff's Office substation has been turned over to the Sheriff's Office for their occupancy and use. Building and grounds is working on rekeying the building to the Sheriff's Office standard, and we're going to be completing the handrail on the exterior entrance ramp next week. Item three is Taylor Street. The request for proposals has been published. We have one early respondent. SNC, or Sierra Nevada Construction, is a plan holder, and we do expect several more. Current projected bid opening for that is December 12 at 2 p.m. in the Slammer. Item four, Virginia City Senior Center. Progress has been a bit slow due to the steel framing that's on that exterior cover. The footings and anchor bolts are in the ground, so precipitation temperatures become less of a concern. On the kitchen work, the electrical is nearing completion, and our plumber on the project lost his brother this week. So maybe a bit of a delay in getting the floor sinks installed, but I'm working to see how we can get that work completed as soon as possible. Item five, Honey and I had a good meeting with Dowell Engineers regarding the Fairgrounds Improvement Project. Project goals, deliverables, outcomes, scope, and schedules were established, and we will keep the board updated as we progress. And item six, on December 12, I will be speaking at the Mix and Mingle event to address the coming snow season, to talk about snow plowing versus removal, and how Public Works can best interact with both the business community and the residential community to make that process as efficient and painless as possible. There was a very productive meeting in here yesterday on this topic, and we are very interested in continuing that conversation and soliciting ideas and feedback on the ideas that we've been working on. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mike regarding his update?
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Mike.
Thank you.
Moving right along to our Business Development Director, Laura Mather.
Good morning, Laura Mather, for the record. A few weeks ago, there was a rumor going around that the post office here in Virginia City was going to be closed within a few months. So obviously, the first thing that I did was walk down to the post office and ask them that. They had not heard that rumor and could not confirm it, and were pretty sure that was not correct. I reached out to the district director's office in Las Vegas, and they were unaware of that rumor and wasn't sure where it was coming from. So just to make absolutely sure, Congressman Amade was able to confirm with the USPS government relations representative that there are no plans to close the post office in Virginia City. So yay to that. Speaking of post office and zip codes and those kind of things, over the past quite a few months, I've been working with the Porter Group and Congressman Amade's office to get a letter from the post office with regard to McCarran, Nevada 89437 in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Just kind of as an update, we have a letter from the post office that says the area is designated as McCarran. We had a separate letter that designated the zip code. I was afraid never the two shall meet. Congressman Amade's office has made great progress. The post office has agreed that that the two should meet in one letter. I'm hoping maybe after the holidays, I will get that letter that says the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center is located in McCarran, Nevada, 89437. Speaking of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, I've been working on our branding plans for the industrial center. So when people know, when people are out there, they know where they're at. The county's building has, we've replaced the letters on, the front-facing exterior of the building. They look great. They're dark, they're bold. It's shortened down from a very long name to Story County Complex. For those who see it in its current conditions, the paint is a little off. The contractor was having trouble matching the paint. So we found a workaround. He's basically going to create a border around the letters with a lighter paint. I actually think it's going to look great. I'm also working on having an entrance sign. So as you drive in the driveway of the complex, there's going to be a nice big sign. Thank you, Commissioner Carmona, for helping me with the design of that. I think it looks great. It's going to say Story County Business Complex. It's going to have the address so people know where they're going. In addition, I've been working with Chris Thompson, project manager for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. There are quite a few monument signs that are located around the park that say Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're going to have Story County added to all of those. So as everybody drives around the park, there should be no confusion as to what county they are in when they're in the industrial center. And that is the end of my report.
Wonderful report, Laura. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Laura?
Exciting additions out there, and I'm so glad to see that happening. Thank you for the report.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good to go. Thank you, Laura.
All right. Thank you again for all your work out there. Moving right along to our grants manager, Honey Coughlin.
Good morning, Honey Coughlin, for the record. As Mike mentioned, Mike Northen, we met with Dow yesterday regarding the Fairgrounds upgrade project. Good news is we are on track with how the USDA wants things to be progressing. We expect to have our design complete by May 2024 and then begin to go out to bid to be able to start the actual construction of that project. USDA is going to be obligating our funds very soon. They let us know that it's in the process and we should very shortly have those funds to be able to start, you know, reimbursing ourselves for the money that we have already put out there for this project. Second project is the Lockwood Senior Center. Things are moving along finally with HUD. There have been a couple of confusions with turnover of staff on HUD's end, and so that's what has caused the delay in moving our application through to the final process. However, it is actually in the director's hands for signature. So as soon as we get that, our contract signed, then we can go ahead and begin actual construction on that project. So that is the end of my report.
Wonderful. Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey?
No question. Thank you, Honey.
Chairman Mitchell?
Good. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Moving on to emergency management.
Morning, Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management, for the record. My big update I have today is our FEMA projects from the 23 storm damage are progressing. It's very slow. It's on their end. Unfortunately, like everybody, they're very short-staffed right now. And as you've seen in the news, nationally, we've had record levels of damages from storms across the country. So they're very overworked. I've been meeting with the state reps. They're very quick. Once our program clears the federal level, it goes to the state, and they've been very quick at getting those projects approved. So hopefully not too long after the new year, we'll see our reimbursement. As of right now, the number fluctuates as it goes through the different levels, but we're looking at over $500,000 in reimbursement from FEMA for our storm damages. Additionally, out at TRI, now that I've finished kind of fixing and getting my feet under me for our internal programs, now I'm starting to work with our external partner. So I'll be meeting starting next week with the companies out at TRI. We're going to go over kind of cooperative plans, hazard mitigation, hazard analysis, and working on trying to come up with some joint exercises between the county and the companies out there. This week, myself, the sheriff's office, fire, and the clerk met to discuss the election mail safety. If you've seen the news reports, there have been some incidents of some scary stuff sent through the mail to the election department. So we've met, we've come up with a plan to protect our employees and our residents when it comes to that. And then finally, next week, I'm going to be in Vegas all week with Stacy York. We're going to the National Health Preparedness Conference down there. So if you reach out, it might be a little slow to get back to you next week. And with that, I'll take any questions.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
No questions. Thank you, Adam.
Vice Chairman Mitchell? All right. Appreciate the update. Moving right along to the Virginia City Tourism Commission.
Todd Tuttle, Tourism Director for the Virginia City Tourism Commission. Good morning. We just returned from NTA, the National Travel Exchange, where we were able to communicate with a lot of the bus operators and group operators in bringing their groups and events back into Virginia City. We had a great response, dispelled a lot of rumors about not being able to bring buses up onto the streets of Virginia City, and a number of the agencies and firms are looking forward to bringing their groups to us in 2024 and 2025. We are in the middle of negotiations with our Argentum partners, respondents to our RFP for a new marketing and PR firm. We hope to have those negotiations finished as we approach the first part of December and have them in place by January 1st if all goes well. We have an RFQ out for event management. We hope to be able to have a selection made by December 14th, where we can begin negotiations with an event management team at that point also. Just as a note, Liquid Blue is one of those that have responded already, and so we know that we're moving forward in that direction. Great preparation for Christmas on the Comstock. We had a wonderful response to our Hauntober events, and we expect the same for Christmas on the Comstock. You'll notice that decorations are already go up thanks to Public Works. And most of the merchants will begin to decorate for decorating events and parties that will be going on. So we're excited for Christmas on the Comstock. A couple events coming up right away. December 1st at 6 p.m. will be the tree lighting ceremony as we ring in the new the Christmas season and light up the holiday tree. 7 p.m. is the 601 Christmas concert, which will be held at Piper's Opera House. On December 2nd, we have the Grinch Made Me Do It saloon crawl. It will operate from 1 o'clock until 5 o'clock, same as what we did for the Halloween event. We found that blended in well with evening events and things that are going on. At 5 o'clock, the Parade of Lights will start on the south end of town around the sheriff's office. For those that are walking, those that will be driving should line up there around Silver Street. The fireworks are expected to go on shortly after that parade around 6 o'clock. And then our production in Piper's Opera House, Mark Twain and Friends Holiday Spectacular will premiere that night. We've got quite a strong response for it, created by a local actors here in town, and we're excited to see that performance come up. Fireworks and parade will repeat again on December 9th, so there will be two weekends of fireworks on December 2nd and December 9th. That's my report. Any questions?
Thank you for that report, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
No comments. Thanks, Todd.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good, thank you.
All right, thanks again for that report.
Thank you.
Moving on to the Comptroller's Office, Comptroller McCain.
Good morning. Nothing at this time. Thank you.
All right. How about the planning department? All right. Let's move on to the recorder's office. All right. Thanks, Drew. How about the IT department?
Thank you.
Thank you. Human resources. Right. Community development, Director Pete Renaud.
Morning, Commissioners. Pete Renaud, Director of Community Development. Just like to say that I'm happy to see that the boardwalks being fixed. I think our approach to the boardwalk is kind of like our approach to the nuisance program. A little bit more hands-on, getting out there, rubbing elbows with them, getting ideas from them, which I'm going to probably pass to Austin, some ideas that we've come up with just to see if we can get that thing ship shape. That's all I have for today.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Pete?
No questions. Thanks, Pete.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Thanks.
All right. Thanks again, Pete. About the senior center.
Good morning, Stacey York for the record. Being that it's Thanksgiving week, I thought I would be thankful for some companies and some people. So first off, I want to thank the Sheriff's Office. Last week, we had a resident down in Mark Twain pass away, Don Perry. He was a veteran. The Sheriff's Office took it upon themselves to drape him with an American flag. And the neighbors, our staff, everybody was just so thankful to see such a kind gesture. Donnie Gilman and the Mustang Ranch donated 180 turkeys for Lockwood and Mark Twain. Redwood Materials down in Tri donated 200 bags of sides and 30 turkeys for Virginia City. So with that, we'll feed about 210 families Thanksgiving dinner. And then we have a craft fair and bake sale December 2nd and December 3rd up here in Virginia City. And that is it today.
Great report, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Stacy?
No comments. Thanks, Stacy, very much.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again. Moving on to the DA's office. Langer?
I guess that would be me. Morning, everybody. Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney. As stated in the department head meeting today, Keith Loomis from my office, almost working 9 years there, is retiring. And every time I mention to somebody that he's retiring, they just get this dreamy look on their face like they wish it were them, you know. But it is Keith. And we're going to do a more formal presentation with a proclamation and a plaque probably at the beginning of January. But we have Brian Brown here today, who is going to be coming in and working on the civil side with everybody. So he will, he's got big shoes to fill. We're starting him out today on some of the items, and we're going to see how he does. But Brian Brown is in the screen this morning, and I am here presently, but we just wanted to let you know that we just are going to miss Keith and what a great job he's done for Story County in my office. But we'll be back to talk about it more. This is just something that since Brian is here today helping, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew. Any questions?
Thank you, Ann. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the DA today?
I forget.
No question. Just a comment that we're going to miss Keith. What a wonderful gentleman he is. And how supportive he's been and committed to Story County. And certainly we are very appreciative of everything he's done, and he's going to be missed. Thank you for the opportunity to say goodbye here.
Indeed. Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
Yeah, no, I just want to echo those same sentiments. Thank you.
Yeah, as do I. Thank you again for the update. Welcome, Brian. All right. How about the county manager's office?
Mr. Austin Osborne, for the record, just to let you know, there's a town hall planned for next Thursday, the 30th at 5:30. We're going to postpone that as we'd like to do a little bit more research on the Story County Lands Act transfer items before we're ready for that. So we'll go ahead and prepare that for another day in the future, possibly January. The next thing, just a reminder of us all, the holiday party for the county will be on December 15th, the Fourth Ward School. Roughly 5:30, 6 o'clock. You can come as you want. And we are getting postings out, and the first one's out, and we're getting them out to other people that we know as well. But so far, and just a reminder, the public is invited to that. We certainly welcome our residents and businesses and anybody else to attend.
Thank you for the update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin?
Nothing, Austin. Thank you.
Sherman Mitchell?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Austin. How about the clerk treasurer's office?
Jim Hindle, Story County Clerk and Treasurer. You really put me under the gun that we have a 10:30 hearing. I think you planned this, so I have to make it short and sweet. First thing I want to say is thank you to Emergency Management Director Wilson and the Fire Department and the Sheriff's Department, Assistant Sheriff Kern and Assistant Fire Chief Morgan. They got on very quickly. The follow-up to help us plan for any contingencies that could happen if we do get some of that scary white substance in the mail, given the reports. And so the staff was concerned, not that we really expect us to be a target, but better to be prepared than not. And so we've got that moving. Second thing we've got going on is talking with a couple of other clerks around the state. We've kind of come up with some information that shows that marriages across the state and marriage license applications processed and licenses recorded have been trending down. And so talk with VCTC, Recorder McPherson was tremendously helpful in collecting some data. And on December 11th, we are going to be in front of the Nevada Department of Tourism to try and get a formal promotion of Nevada as a wedding destination, in order to try and reverse that trend. Of course, the big gorilla in the room will be Las Vegas, the wedding capital of the world. But it doesn't hurt because it is also a very important aspect of business impact here in Virginia City and Story County. So we'll be getting that going, and hopefully the Tourism Commission will allow me to hand that off to them once we get some other planning. And then last but not least, just once again, we have the presidential preference primary. This is only regarding the U.S. Presidential contest. It is not a primary for other offices. We will have our regular state office and county office primary in June, but the presidential preference primary is February 6th. So as people are looking at that, there are some deadlines coming up. If you want to opt out of receiving a mail ballot, you have to do that basically by the end of next week. You have to do it 60 days before the election, as well as the primary is going to only be for Republicans and Democrats, the two major parties. If you are registered as another party or nonpartisan and wish to re-register your affiliation, you need to do that basically by the end of the year. There's some wiggle room in that, depending on whether you do it in person or by mail or by online. But I would encourage anybody who wants to participate in the primary that is not Republican or Democrat to re-register, look and confirm their registration by the end of the year. Did I make it?
You did.
You're good. Thank you for that, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jim?
No comments. Thank you, Jim.
Sherman Mitchell?
No, we're good. Thank you.
All right. Some scary white stuff fell in the Highlands this weekend, but I think you're talking about something else. Shows up in the mail. Appreciate it. Thank you for the update. is there anybody that I missed that needs to give an update today? All right. 3 minutes of jokes by Austin Osborne to tie this over till the public hearing.
So, I want to see a song and dance.
Even better. I guess we'll just hang tight for a couple minutes until the public hearing. I don't see any reason for us to jump into another agenda item right now. I guess we could do board comment. I'm sorry. Commissioner Gilman, item number 8 is board comment. No action, no public comment to be taken. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for us today, sir?
Nothing new to share today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
I just want to say a big thank you to both staff and the public that came out to the town hall last night to discuss parking and snow removal. It was a good conversation. I think we have some good ideas that surfaced and things to check. Working together as a community, we're going to be able to make that better all the way around, regardless of how heavy the winter is. So feeling good about that.
Thank you. I want to say thanks for putting that town hall together. I think it was important for the residents and the business owners to hear that. I'd like to take a moment of silence for those who have passed away, including a longtime VC resident, Jan Swede. So if we could just have a moment of silence for him and anybody else that has passed away over the last week or so. Thank you, everybody. Now we've got just less than a minute before we jump on this public hearing. So hang tight. All right. It is 10:30. We're going to open up this public hearing. County Manager Osborne, you're going to take it away.
All right, Mr. Chairman, if you like. I'll go ahead and read the title, if you like, just to make sure that's on the record. Public hearing for second reading of Bill Number 136, Ordinance Number 23-324. An ordinance amending provisions of the Story County Code Title 17 to allow for changeable copy or variable image or message signs to be installed on public zoning districts, land, and providing for other properly related matters. We ask that this item be continued to the December 5 meeting for a 10:30 a.m. hearing at the Story County Courthouse and on Zoom as well. I am speaking on behalf of Planning Director Kathy Canfield. We do ask that you make a motion to this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, County Manager Osborne.
So, Vice Chairman, are you ready to make a motion?
Yeah, I'm happy to make a motion.
Do I need to take public comment even though there's nothing?
Yes.
Is there any public comment about the public hearing that's not happening? Vice Chairman, take it away.
This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to continue the public hearing for the second reading of Bill 136, Ordinance 23-324 to meeting tentatively to be held on December 5th, 2023.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. All right. Moving on to item number 10 is discussion only. County staff has reviewed the responses to the request for qualifications for the construction management portion of the Lockwood Senior Center rebuild project. County staff intends to pursue costs and contract negotiations with the selected respondent, Construction Materials Engineers, Inc. Honey, take it away.
Honey Coughlin for the record. And I just want to clarify, it's item 9. Does that matter? Doesn't matter. You said 10.
It's item 10 on my agenda, but
oh, okay.
Sure.
No Never problem. Mind then. My apologies. On November 6th, the review committee met and it was comprised of Stacey York, Jason Worsbicky, Mike Northern, and myself. We had four responses to the Lockwood Senior Center RFQ that we put out, and we were very pleased actually with the response. One of the teams actually wanted to meet with us, Stacey York and I, on site to look over everything. And ultimately, we decided to go with the firm that best met all of the needs that we were looking for. And so that is Construction Materials Engineers, Inc. And today I will be sending them the letter and we will begin negotiations for cost. And then again, we can begin no work on this project until we have a fully executed grant agreement from HUD, but we can at least let them know and then be ready to pursue the RFP that we will be putting out for the construction contractor. And
wonderful. Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey on this?
No, Cam. Comments. Thanks, Honey.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell.
Good to go. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Thank you again for that update. On to item number 11, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval for county staff to apply for grant funding in the amount of $700,000 for the ADA compliant restroom facilities for the Virginia City Fairgrounds through the Conserve Nevada's Nevada Conservation and Recreation Fund, with a 20% match of $140,000 being required of the county. Honey.
So due to the, Honey Coughlin for the record, due to the rapidly increasing costs of goods and services, the ADA restrooms for the fairgrounds, that project that we are undertaking at this moment, that had to be removed from the scope of work. The current grant funded project, which is the FY23 appropriations request award, includes the installation of water and electric to the fairgrounds, both of which are to be installed with the consideration of this future build of the ADA compliant restroom. The application submittal date for this Conserve Nevada grant is December 28th, and award announcements will be made in February of 2024. And if awarded, the project will begin in fiscal year 24-25 and will be budgeted accordingly. In order to complete the application, I need board approval.
All right, thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments so far?
No questions, comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No. Okay, but thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve county staff to apply for grant funding in the amount of $700,000 for ADA-compliant restroom facilities for the Virginia City Fairgrounds through Conserve Nevada's Nevada Conservation and Recreation Fund, with a 20% match of $140,000 being required of the county.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks for your work on that, Honey. On to item number 12, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-714,
a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 23-24 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the addition of the undersheriff at grade 148 and reallocation of assistant sheriff from grade 148 to 144. Jeannie?
Thank you. I'm Jeannie Green, Labor Relations. We're requesting approval of this pay resolution with two revisions. The Sheriff's Office has implemented a reorganization of their top administrative staff. The sheriff has created an undersheriff, which we have placed at the grade level of the previous assistant sheriff, which is grade 148. There will be two assistant sheriffs that will report to the undersheriff. The grade level for the assistant sheriffs has been downgraded from grade 148 to a grade 144, which provides for an appropriate differential between the positions. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Jeannie. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jeannie?
No questions. Thanks, Jeannie.
Ms. Sherman?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right, nor do I.
Okay.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Sheriff or undersheriff, do you have anything you want to say? Or?
Sheriff Cullen, for the record. Just a real quick comment. We've been commenting on our staffing levels and how they've increased this year. I just did some real quick notes. We are at 50 employees. January, we had 20. So this reorganization is basically because we are growing. We're growing very rapidly at the sheriff's office. And that's basically it. But I'm here to answer any questions if you guys have any.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. With those comments, Commissioner Gilman, is there anything else or are you good?
I'm good to go. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any additional questions. I expressed some of my concerns that maybe we were growing quickly on the top end with the administration, with Undersheriff Kern, but we discussed some of the mitigations and things that are involved in this reorganization plan. So I feel comfortable with it.
All right. And one more time, is there any public comment? All right. Thank you, Sheriff. I'm not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-714, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2023-24 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the addition of undersheriff at grade 148 and reallocation of assistant sheriff from grade 148 to grade 144.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Congratulations to you, Undersheriff Kern. All right. Moving right along to item number 13, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval for county staff to proceed with a letter of intent to apply for a principal forgiveness loan through the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection for phase one of the lead siphon transmission replacement project in the amount of $2,504,666.16. Honey.
Honey Coughlin, for the record. Board of County Commission approval is required for this application process as well. County staff has been working with the NDEP and Dowell Engineering to complete this letter of intent to apply requirements, which are due December 1st, 2023, to be considered for this award. Originally, this is the lead siphon project that I have been applying for as a whole for the past 2 years with our federal appropriations requests. The total amount of the project is a little over $11 million. And because funding in that amount is usually not available to fund an entire project like that, we've decided to phase this project down into five different phases. So phase one includes the preliminary architectural report and any environmental reporting that needs to be done with initial phases of construction. So with this, the cost is the $2,504,000 and some change. And the principal forgiveness loan. In the past, the NDEP did not have enough pots of money to be able to do this, but they have encouraged us to go ahead and apply because this funding is available. It's not guaranteed to us, but it is available in the amount that we are asking. So I've already actually put in the letter of intent. The application I have not put in, and that is what this will go along with that if you approve actually applying for this project. And that is the end.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this agenda item?
Do not. Thank you, honey.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I just want to extend my compliments on naming it something that sounds very scary. I think that'll probably get us good results.
Indeed. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve county staff to proceed with a letter of intent to apply. Sorry. Do I need to be more specific about actually applying, or is this motion acceptable?
I don't think you need to be more specific because you're giving approval for this project. And the letter of intent was just the moment that I put the letter of intent in, I could apply. It's just that I can't actually push apply until I attach this with it. So.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I'll start over. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve county staff to proceed with a letter of intent to apply for a principal forgiveness loan through the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, or NDEP, for phase one of the lead siphon transmission replacement project in the amount of $2,504,666.16.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you again, honey. On to item number 14. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and approval of appointing a county resident to serve as a voting member of the Comstock Cemetery Foundation Board of Directors as a Story County representative. Laura?
Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. Story County posted a countywide notice seeking letters of interest to serve as a voting member of the Comstock Cemetery Foundation representing Story County. Honey Coughlin and I interviewed one of those candidates, Caitlin Best, and found her to be highly knowledgeable, specific to the needs of this position. So Caitlin is a county resident. She has experience working with nonprofit organizations. She has extensive fundraising and events planning experience. She has public grant experience, interest in historic preservation. She also has a very unique background and knowledge in both historic and modern burials. So she's here if you have any questions for her, but we think she is a great fit and will represent the county well.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Laura. Before I ask for commissioner comments, does Caitlin want to come up and say anything? All right. Yeah, well, thank you for applying. With that, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. I just want to say thank you as well for applying. You know, in a small community like ours, it really takes members of the community stepping up to make it function. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Indeed. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to appoint Caitlin Best to serve as a voting member on the Comstock Cemetery Foundation Board of Directors as the Story County representative.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you,
Caitlin. Welcome aboard. On to item number 15 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and discussion regarding the Story County Fire Protection District's 24 through 2029 capital and operational improvement plan. Chief?
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Loncar for the record. So I'm bringing this to you early this year is to get a good look and open some dialogue between the district and yourselves. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes in how we acquire equipment. I've got just a couple examples for you here. You know, we ordered in 21 in fiscal year 21 an ambulance that we still don't expect to be delivered until February of 24. This is the problem we're facing now. So it's really important that we not just look at our current needs, but we also have to project a little and look forward. Type 1 engines are running almost 3 years to obtain. Type 3 engines are 2 years to obtain. So we're really shooting far out there when we have some real needs now. We've taken the document that we've already presented last year with board approval, jockeyed around some things to try to fit our operational needs. And just for brevity, I think I'll kind of just run through what we're looking at this year and open up for any comments, anything you may have on that. So in looking at the upcoming year, tentatively, we've got a couple of real needs. And one is a Type 1 engine here in Virginia City. I've discussed this board about a couple incidents we've had with our current Type 1 engine. It still has not in service, and it has been down for some time. And we continue to have these kind of catastrophic incidents with that engine. So that has become a very desperate need right now. Virginia City is being protected by a 1996 HME engine. That just shows you where we set back, and not just here, in the park as well. So we're running our two oldest engines in our two busiest districts. But with that comes a heavy price tag, and like I said, a three-year wait. So in looking at what we're looking at this year for purchasing, Type 1 is obviously one of our biggest priorities, and that's running about $1.2 million right now, fully equipped. As well, some of our fleet, our fire marshal's vehicle, as well as inspector's vehicle. Those of you who are familiar with Joe Curtis's old Yukon that he drove around, although low miles, it's a very old and dated unit too that's starting to show its age. Hopefully, we didn't get this last go around when we were buying pickups, but talking to the shop, we're really hoping fleet orders are a real option for us again, because that sets us back as well. Because if they don't have it, you are not going to get it. You have no means of ordering it, and it's just trying to find what can fit your bill. We're hopeful that gets up and going. We're able to spec them the way really we want them, get them at a good, reasonable cost. So with a fire marshal's vehicle and a prevention vehicle, the battalion chief vehicle, we pushed that off for another year. It's holding up really well. That could get kicked down the road even further. Again, this is really needs-based. But ambulance, I discussed that we ordered an ambulance in 21. We don't expect it till February 24. We need to keep on that rotation. Some of our fleet right now is exceeding 100,000 miles on an ambulance, which for a diesel isn't bad. For the diesel itself, it's the box and everything attached that gets beaten up going down these roads, especially in the highlands, the dirt roads. They just take a toll on our equipment. Yeah. So
the roads are good.
You know, the roads are fabulous. The roads are fabulous. Sorry.
Thank you.
I misspoke on that.
On the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the nature of Nevada. It really is. And it's staying on this ambulance replacement. And again, we're a little behind the times right now because we're going to be ordering something that it may take 2 years. So that ambulance got 100,000 miles on it, could be turning 150 to 170,000 miles by the time we even get something to replace it. So turning the page, if we look at our water tender situation, they're even further dated than most of the rest of the fleet. I've got one tender here. We'd like to do a refurb on it. And about $200,000. But if you step inside of it, I'm ready to start stealing Jason W's road signs to rip it down to the floor because the floor's gone. It kind of shows you the level of disrepair, which we knew this going in, and we knew that there was going to be that light at the end of the tunnel, right? Getting that money from the industrial park to start this replacement process. Our transport and trailer, we did have an agreement with NV Energy to get that replaced under that program. As I've discussed to the commission, that program is changing. Fortunately, we feel really confident moving forward with a new contract, but part of that contract is no more equipment purchases. That's something now that we got to start planning for and implementing that equipment and then billing it back to NV Energy appropriate too. So then we're recovering its replacement costs. So that's the plan with that. And the next thing we have that I just want to hit on as far as the big equipment purchases is just a side-by-side for Station 72. We've got one down there. It's a kind of a dual-use unit. We use it on our fuels programs a lot. We use it on our heavy equipment program a lot. Last year's winter was really an eye-opener as far as how ill-equipped we are to deal with these types of conditions that we saw with the snow loads. The sheriff's office got a set of tracks. We had some on the order, and I think that, you know, in our discussions, just that sharing of resources can help us both out. So I want to keep one stationed out at 72 with tracks on it, ready to go in the backcountry. I believe they're stationing this one here in Virginia City. So we just expand both of our capabilities that way. So that's just on the equipment side. It totals about $2.3 million, which is quite a price tag, and that's not included in Ladder Truck 71. Those of you that have been down to the station, look at that. That's a 1982. They haven't produced open cab fire engines since I've been in the fire service. And that's 28 years. It is very, very dated. That one is going to be at a big bill. I'd suggest we still keep that on our planning. We know that we got to see the numbers come through before we commit to anything. Let's keep it on the plan. If we can look at refurb options, but possibly purchase used, getting it painted that beautiful trademark Story County blue, could be a lot more affordable option. But those are kind of the equipment needs that we have going in that equate to about $2.3 million $3.5 million when we consider that ladder truck. And I'll kind of stop right there and get some feedback just on the equipment stuff from the board.
All right, thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, comments?
I do not, thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
Chief, can you run us through the process really quick? Do we have to put some sort of a deposit down when we put the orders in, or is it all payable when on delivery?
And that's really depending on the vendor and the process.
Okay.
So under a refurb, there could be money down. New purchases, we've got two Type 3s purchased right now. They're on order. I don't expect them for still a year to 2 years out. Under those programs, we pay nothing up front. It's when it is done, signed off, and delivered. And then we're going to be on the hook for that. We've been budgeting accordingly, so we've got those funds in our capital fund, so they're ready to pay, you know, and that's kind of that planning. But no, we do not owe until they are delivered.
On new purchases.
Right? On brand new equipment.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for you, Chief. We'll see if the public has anything. All right. I don't see anything so far. I'm going to continue.
Yes. And I'll just kind of combine all the rest of these into my last little bit. We're still building on our radio system. Obviously, we grow staff. That's $7,000 a radio. And that's just a radio. So we need to put some money in there just to continue to keep up our radio communications. With the facilities, we're still working diligently on getting Station 71. And we're still rat holing money for it, putting away funds to take care of that program. We did have in here some just additional costs for some landscaping if needed post-construction. I'm going to push that out because we just don't even have a station yet. So that's part of the projecting the future needs of it. And then the last one I've got on here for facilities anyways is once the new app bays at 72 are done, I'd like to explore options of resiting and connecting it to the existing home. That's a lot faster for my staff to get out of that house, into the apparatus bays, get on the equipment and get out the door. And it's also safer. We have had workman's comp injuries of firemen that are trying to get to equipment and they're running across an icy parking lot and they fall. Well, that doesn't do anyone any good if they can't show up to the call. So if we can kind of control those weather conditions, make it easily accessible and reduce their reaction time, that's a win for everybody. Our extrication tools, we did get a grant a couple of years ago and started upgrading to the electrical versions, which are far better than the hydraulic ones that we've used previously. We were only able to do two of our four engines.
So I did put $52,000 in there just to keep that process going, finish equipping with all our equipment with like tools. That helps us operationally as far as training and everything else. Everybody's very familiar with it, and it doesn't change on them no matter what station they go to. Last but not least, I'll kind of talk about just staffing. And it's important to bring these up to show where our growth is. Again, Station 71 is our second busiest district. Obviously, 75 down the industrial park is. We built up that staffing to four-person staffing. Allows us either to run two ambulances, an ambulance, an engine, a truck. It's helped us immensely. We need to start bringing these two-man stations up just a little bit, but only where it's needed to begin with, and only when we can financially do that. Station 71 being the call volume it's getting, we would really like to try to put on a firefighter. We're not going to go for paramedic. Firefighters cost a little bit less than a paramedic. But by getting that firefighter, I've got a captain, a firefighter, and a paramedic at the station. So if that firefighter and that medic need to hop on that ambulance and leave the hill, generally they're gone for an hour and a half. So that means we have no supervisory, you know, personnel that's covering either 71 or 72. This allows that captain to stay. And we move around resources as needed between those two stations. But if something bad were to happen during the time that ambulance is gone, we've got somebody here with the knowledge, experience to start mitigating that emergency. We did keep in the heavy equipment operator. I'm just going to say it's iffy, and it's very dependent on the NV Energy agreement. You know, this is one that I would not, I mean, I really don't want to use a bunch of district funds on it. Right now, we have other areas we need to grow. But depending on how that agreement turns out, we could have very well turn around and ask for this position, which hopefully we should know here in a matter of months. The very last thing before I turn it over to questions from the board is everybody's very familiar with my wildland division. And those are the employees that were put on under that NV Energy contract. I would like to move those individuals to our district funds. So there's a price tag of $750,000. But these guys are an invaluable resource to this district. They're the ones that are out there that are doing the fuels mitigation. They're the ones that are going to be out there to help us with the wildland fires within our district. And they take on multiple other roles. Doesn't mean we're not going to continue to pursue grants. Doesn't mean we're not going to keep engaged with NV Energy under this agreement. All reality, it could cost us nothing. But I think letting those guys have the peace of mind to know that they got a job. Doesn't matter if we get a grant or not, they got a job and we can secure that fund for them. I think that's a great move for us. And we did a really good job putting together this crew, and they're doing a really good job for us. I would just like to keep them on there. That said, I'll take any questions as far as those last items.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the rest of Chief's update?
I just asked the chief, in addition to the report, which I appreciate today, and I could use a written overview of the projections and some of his considerations for his capital and operational improvement plan and where he sees this going. But I'd like to see one in a report submitted for review.
Absolutely, Commissioner. I did present one with the agenda. After today, I will make some further updates, a cleaner document, and that could be available to any of the commissioners to view of what comes out of this meeting. And then I will present it again. It'll be at a later time, but now we were, like I said, this is being transparent of where we want to move, and we're going to start looking into these and really dialing down these figures, because some of these items we may want to start ordering now. So absolutely, I will get something, and it'll be available to any of the board or the commissioners as requested.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
No, I'll echo that. And maybe just, you know, kind of a higher level summing up of the detail that's here, right?
Yes.
And maybe, you know, against revenue forecasts as well, so we kind of can just get a picture of where we're going and what we expect to have available on the capital side.
for these plans.
Absolutely.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? All right, not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion at this point?
I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct the fire chief to make the recommended changes outlined in his presentation to the SCFPD 2024 to 2029 capital and operational improvement plan.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 17, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the purchase of a command vehicle approved and ordered within the 2022-23 budget and received within the 23-24 that is unbudgeted. Chief?
Yes, Commissioners. Unfortunately, this may become more of a common occurrence than not, just because, as we've discussed, it's getting the stuff in time. And some of it we don't know when comes in. This vehicle was ordered, approved and ordered in 2022, the 2023 budget year. We just received it about a month ago. So just to show some of that delay. So this is more formality because it is coming out of this budget. It's not funded in this budget, but it was in the last budget and that money was carried over into our capital fund. I'm just seeking your approval.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments on this agenda item?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
This is Jennifer McCain. Can I make a comment, please?
Absolutely.
Jennifer McCain, Fire District Comptroller, for the record. I want to make it clear that this vehicle was not budgeted for in this year. It was not rolled over, but I do feel that we can make it accommodate the extra purchase. I think that needed to be clear that it was not rolled over.
All right.
Thank you, Commissioners. I stand correct. It was my understanding that money when we deposited in there is continually rolled over. So I correct that statement.
All right. Before we go to a motion, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions after the comptroller's statement?
I do not, given the oversight, unfortunate, since it wasn't a rollover from the previous budget. I'm sorry that is the circumstance. However, we have received the vehicle. It was necessary at the time. So given that Jennifer is comfortable that we can budget for this, I see no reason why we shouldn't approve it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
Yeah, and I guess my only question is can we, you know, given that this has kind of become the norm as far as our equipment acquisition cycle, can we maybe make it a standard operating procedure to roll those things over into the next year's budget, at least so that we're preparing for this, which may happen on a regular basis, it sounds like.
And Commissioner Mitchell, just for information sake, I did check that fund balance in our capital improvement because I do look at that. Like I said, we have two type threes and a type five ordered. And there's the funding for that plus within that capital fund.
Sure.
So I want to make sure we continue, just like what you said, to build on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could be wrong, but it sounds like, and Comptroller McCain, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the money may be there and the money may have rolled over, but the budget item may not have rolled over the expense, if you will, in the year. And so it sounds like there may just be a disconnect there where the money is accruing. It's not that we don't have the money. It's that we didn't account for the potential expense within the budget cycle. Is that a fair assessment, Comptroller?
Yes, Jennifer McCain again. That is a fair assessment. Normal practice is if we do not expect to receive a piece of equipment by June 30th during the budget process, we roll that expense into the next budget. And I make a note of when originally that equipment was budgeted for. Unfortunately, for this pickup truck, we were guaranteed that it was going to come in by June 30th. So this truck was not rolled into the next budget, which is the current budget.
and therefore it's an unbudgeted expense. What Chief Loankar is saying is, yes, the funds are in that line item. However, they are dedicated to those pieces of equipment that are not expected to arrive.
Thank you for the clarification, Comptroller. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Chief, did you have any other statements?
No. Good.
All right. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Fire Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the purchase of a command vehicle approved and ordered within the 2022-2023 budget and received within the 2023-2024 budget cycle.
Second motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks again, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. On to item number 18 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 19, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration of the board's position responding to the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development, requesting from Story County a letter of acknowledgement regarding an application to GOED for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement, and personal property tax abatement for Arcadia Cold Reno LLC, planned in Story County. The tax abatements are subject to GOED approval per NRS 360 as a standard partial abatement. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. This is, like it says in the agenda, it's an off-the-shelf abatement for GOED under NRS. These companies receive a letter of acknowledgement from the counties regarding the abatements they'll receive. In this case, it's Arcadia Cold Reno LLC. It's an off-the-shelf abatement, which really is, there's a matrix that looks at investment, and then their full-time equivalent of employees really equals the amount of abatement they'll get in sales and use tax, property tax, and then also for a state modified business tax. That matrix is in front of you if you do want to reference it, and the public has a copy as well. In this case, this company would receive, or they would actually make about $2.8 million in investments capital, and that will translate into roughly $177,000 in sales and use tax abatement and about $66,000 in personal property tax abatement, not the building itself, but the interior stuff over a 10-year period.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good, thanks.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell moved to direct county staff to submit a letter to GOED acknowledging an application for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement, and personal property tax abatement for Arcadia Cold Reno LLC planned in Story County.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. On to item number 20, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to adopt the 2023 Story County Water Resources Plan for South and Central Story County, including the Comstock, also known as Virginia City, Gold Hills, Silver City, and American Flats, the Highlands, and Mark Twain. This item is being considered in accordance with the 2016 Story County Master Plan. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. We ask that this item be continued to the December 5 Board of County Commissioners meeting to allow a little bit more time for the public to review and comment on this master plan for water resources across the county. It is posted on the county website, either at the planning site or the county managers. We may put it on both. And the just so you know, the Planning Commission did conduct a public hearing on this on November 7th. It was attended and there was comments. And at this point, there is a motion prepared for you if you'd like to make that motion.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
No comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
So just for clarification, continuing it to a date specific?
Yes, it would be December 5th, perfect. County Commission meeting.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I move to continue this item number 20, to the December 5th tentative commissioners meeting.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. On to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of first reading of bill number 137, ordinance number 23-325, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 2, Administration and Personnel, Section 2.22.060, qualifications of appraisers, to revise subsection 2.22.060, F, allowing a qualified appraiser to be placed on the list of county appraisers if the appraiser demonstrates an ability to obtain professional liability insurance as required by the county and other properly related matters. Austin.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I also want to point that Attorney Brian Brown is also with us, who has also been providing legal guidance in this ordinance update proposal. This is just a first reading at this point. The NRS calls for the county to maintain a list of property appraisers that it draws from to perform property appraisals of properties that it intends to purchase or sell or lease or rent. In this case, there is a requirement in Story County Code 222060F that just to be on the list that the appraisal will have to maintain certain insurance, errors and omissions to be specific, even if the appraiser is not conducting appraisals. I'd ask that the language be amended so that they only need to have that insurance if at such time that they conduct an appraisal, that they are eligible to have that insurance at the time that they are on the list. And that would be it. I will let you know at second reading, there will be an amendment that will come to you at the advisement of Mr. Brown. And that would be to take the language that I struck out under F and keep it, and then just continue with the proposed blue language, the ability to obtain the professional liability insurance as required by the county. That will happen at second reading.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
No comments. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, I'm good.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading of bill number 137, ordinance number 23-325, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 2, Administration and Personnel, Section 2.22.060, qualifications for appraisers, to revise subsection 2.22.060F, allowing a qualified appraiser to be placed on the list of county appraisers if the appraiser demonstrates an ability to obtain professional liability insurance as required by the county and other properly related matters. This motion includes the finding that a special hearing and business impact statement are not required because the proposed action does not impose a direct or significant economic burden upon a business or directly restrict the formation, operation, or expansion of a business in Story County.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just make on the record that there will be a written motion accompanying this after the meeting, whereas you'll actually sign the motion.
All right, thank you. So there is a motion. Is there a second?
There is a second. Thank you.
All right, motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 22. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval accepting property appraiser Anthony J. Wren and Associates as a qualified appraiser from the list of Story County appraisers to provide appraisals of properties located at 175 North C Street and 208 North D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, of which the county has expressed potential interest in purchase and or trade for the purposes of constructing and or expanding Fire Station 71. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. A little background here, working with a fire protection district chief, is a project to rebuild and expand Fire Station 71 in Virginia City. We are working on that project with him.
The land, however, is owned by Story County, and then also Story County has procured a federal grant of roughly $3.75 million toward the project. Therefore, Story County will be managing the project. The project is partially contingent on the acquisition of land abutting the project or next to it on another area. Appraisals would be required to proceed forward on that land purchase or acquisition. The parcels are located at 175 North C Street and or 208 North D Street, and from which we have two people on the list of appraisals, and that's Anthony J. Wren and Associates is the first one that we'll talk about today. We would ask that this board certify Mr. Wren and Associates or Anthony J. Wren and Associates to actually perform the appraisal on one or both of these parcels for the purpose that I described earlier.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No comments. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve accepting property appraiser Anthony J. Wren and Associates as a qualified appraiser from the list of Story County appraisers to provide appraisal of properties located at 175 North C Street and 208 North D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, of which the county has expressed potential interest in purchasing and or trade for the purpose of constructing and or expanding Fire Station 71.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 23, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval accepting property appraiser Mark Stafford Real Estate Appraisers as a qualified appraiser from the list of Story County appraisers to provide appraisal of properties located at 175 North C Street and 208 North D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, of which the county has expressed potential interest in purchase and or trade for the purpose of constructing and or expanding Fire Station 71. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. I'm just going to repeat again. So working with a Fire Protection District Chief on the potential purchase or expansion and rehabilitation of Fire Station 71 in Virginia City. I need to remind this board that Story County owns the property, and Story County also has procured a grant of roughly $3.75 million for the rebuild or expansion of this building. The expansion is contingent on the acquisition of land, either next to the existing fire station or nearby, and an appraisal is required. The land is located at 175 North C Street and 208 North D Street. Right now, we have a list of two appraisers on the county list of appraisers. One of them is Anthony J. Wren and Associates. The other is Mark Stafford Appraisal Services. We would ask that this board certify Mark Stafford Appraisal Services to perform an appraisal of one or both of these properties for the purpose described earlier.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No comments, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve accepting property appraiser Mark Stafford Real Estate Appraisers as a qualified appraiser from the list of Story County appraisers to provide appraisal of properties located at 175 North C Street and 208 North D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, of which the county has expressed potential interest in purchasing and or trade for the purpose of constructing and or expanding Fire Station 71.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving on to item number 24. This is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of first reading of bill number 138, ordinance number 23-326. An ordinance amending Story County Code, Chapter 5, Business License Required, Section 5.04.200, Fees and Exemptions from Fees, to revise the list of certain base in-county business license fees from their current amount to a reduced amount of being $25 annually, section 5.04.190, deleting conflicting language regarding fees set by resolution and or properly other properly related matters. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne, Story County Manager, for the record. I also want to point that Attorney Brian Brown is on with us, too, that may provide some legal background on this. I also want to thank Attorney Brown as well as Attorney Loomis for guiding us through this process over the last year. It's been very helpful. And I'll go ahead and give a summary of what we have in front of us. At the request of County Commissioner Mitchell, the county had looked over the last year or so, potentially looking at ways to reduce the base business license fee in ordinance. And that's what we have here in front of us after several workshops with this board and ultimate direction from this board to proceed. There's two proposals. One is to update Story County Code 504-200. That is to reduce business license fees from the current listed amounts to $25. It only affects the base business license fee for in-county businesses. The second is to remove some conflicting language with the action that's being taken in section 504-190 that says that business license fees may be done by resolution. This would make it by ordinance, which it's already done. Title V overhaul, I'll let you know, it's going to be proposed for next year. A lot of work has been done on that draft, but at this point, we're just making these corrections. We've been advised by Attorney Loomis and Attorney Brown that no business impact statement is required for this, nor is a requirement for a special hearing because the action does not cause any burden to a business. In fact, it does the opposite. I will let you know that we had discussed at the last county commission meeting is to approach the Virginia City Tourism Commission to discuss with them potential economic impacts that could happen to the Tourism Commission budget by this action. We are prepared to do that on December 14. And then a second reading for this ordinance would come as well as with the findings from that Tourism Commission meeting on December 19. So today is just a first reading request. And I will let you know that there is a request for a written motion to accompany this per the advisement of our attorneys.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I just want to express my thanks. It's been a bit of a winding road to get to this point, and I appreciate all the work that's gone into this on all accounts. So thank you for that. I did have one question, and that was, I know there had been some conversation about matching the application fee to that $25 range as well. Is that something that needs to be considered, should be considered? As I read the code, I think that's already the way that it reads, but I'm not sure if our current practice matches with that.
Thank you, Commissioner Mitchell. Austin Husband for the record. And I may lean to the advisement of our attorneys on this, but right now, we have advised community development as well as tourism to make sure they're conforming to the existing ordinance as it is. That action has been taken. I'm not sure if you're asking for any further action to be taken on an adjustment to the proposed draft.
No, as long as the end result is that we end up with it being $25 across the board, then that makes me happy. So I'm good to go. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading of Bill number 138, Ordinance number 23-326, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 5, Business License Required, Section 5.04.200, Fees and Exemptions from Fees, to revise the list of certain base in-county business license fees from their current amount to a reduced amount being $25 annually, Section 5.04.190, deleting conflicting language regarding fees set by resolution and other properly related matters. This motion includes a finding that a special hearing and business impact statement are not required because the proposed action does not impose a direct or significant economic burden upon a business or directly restrict the formation, operation, or expansion of a business in Story County.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 25, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through L. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about these second readings?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I have no questions, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the second reading of these business licenses? All right. Not seeing any, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of items of the businesses I move to approve the second reading of the business licenses listed under item 25 as A through L.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item number 26, for the sake of staying on track, is blank. So now we're at item number 27, which is public comment. Is there any public comment today? I did.
Commissioners, Keith Loomis, just wanted to say that about last month, I turned 70 years old, and I've been getting pressure from my family to retire. And so I have decided to go ahead and pursue that. Today is my last day. And I just want to say that this is a great place to work. I mean, it's got a fascinating history here in Virginia City and Gold Hill. The economic development out in the Tri-Center has been fascinating with the way it works in GOED in particular. And I've enjoyed it. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Keith. You will be missed. Is there any other public comment today? Not seeing any. That brings us to item number 28, which is correspondence. No action will be taken. We're just noting on the record that there was a letter regarding the public, or is somebody going to read that?
It'll be up to you, Mr. Chairman. Otherwise, it's just to acknowledge.
Fair enough. Moving on to item number 29 is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:27. This meeting is adjourned. You all have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a happy retirement, Keith.